Hello and welcome to Talking Turkey. I'm your host, Aval editor David Lepeska, and with me today is Muzaffer Şenel, political science professor at Istanbul Şehir University. Hello, Muzaffer, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, David. Hello, everyone.
You're welcome. We are speaking on Tuesday, September 22nd, 2 days before the start of a European Union summit in Brussels, a gathering that was initially called for the purpose of dealing with Turkey. The agenda has since expanded to include Belarus and possible other issues, but responding to Turkey in the Eastern Mediterranean and beyond remains the priority this week in Brussels. Later this week in Brussels, there's been some division, I'm sure you know, among EU member states, with one bloc led by France calling for strong measures like sanctions, and another led by Germany seeking to broker talks between Turkey and Greece, which have been rattling sabers and exchanging insults in connection to disputes over airspace, sovereignty, and maritime rights in the Aegean and Eastern Mediterranean. Though I should say the two neighbors did begin exploratory talks at NATO headquarters last week, and they have vowed to start up talks again following this week's EU summit. Muzaffer, what do you see coming out of the gathering this week? Will the EU finally show a united front on Turkey? Do you expect sanctions?
Frankly speaking, I do not expect the sanctions severe sanctions, but there will be limited ones that most probably will come. Regarding the bank or the companies who are drilling, who are interested in to those activities, most probably some, let's say, soft sanctions will come, but not the hard ones. I'm not expecting such kind of the hard sanctions, as you also mentioned that the Europe has already been, European Union member state has already been divided on the course of the Eastern Mediterranean issue. Especially the German efforts and the Italian efforts, it's too important for today. As of today, as also the negotiations which is undergoing under the auspices of the NATO, which is also important, we should underline also, if EU wants to be more credible actor in the game, that they should take care of the NATO initiative regarding to the Turkish-Greek negotiations. And I think EU is losing its credibility in the eyes of Turkey by siding the Greece and losing it is being a honest broker in the game, in this tension. Therefore, I'm not expecting such kind of the harsh or hard sanctions against Turkey, but due to the two member states, Greece and the Greek Cypriots, are the member states of to the EU, and they have the veto rights. Therefore, they will use as a blackmail to create at least a more hardliner.
Right. Before we get to that, let me ask, you say you expect some sort of softer sanctions, but didn't the EU deliver minor sanctions, we could say, against Turkey's acts in the Eastern Mediterranean last year, and they made no impact?
I don't expect no impact for Turkey to that, because I mean this tension is between Turkey and Greece. It is all about the Eastern Mediterranean exclusive maritime zones. These are the both sides are approaching the issue as a maximalist approach, and they should find a solution under the auspices of the NATO, where the two states are the member. But I think it will be the solution to creating a deal, at least a limited deal. I am expecting from the negotiations under NATO. Therefore, I'm not expecting any kind of to harsh hardliner sanctions. And as last year, it will be there is no great impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you say the EU is losing face as an honest broker. But on the other hand, on Monday, yesterday, Cyprus blocked EU sanctions against 40 Belarusian officials for their government. for the
And also,
government's har
Carl Bildt also says to
for
that
the
they fed
just
up
let
with.
me just let me for the government's harsh crackdown on protests there. The view of Cyprus, at least as laid out by analyst Fiona Mullen in a Twitter thread this morning, goes something like this: Turkey is drilling in our EEC. We are an EU member state, yet you, the EU, seem to care less about the violation of our sovereignty and rights than you do about non-EU citizens in Belarus. This to me seems like a reasonable view. I guess, Muzaffer, do you think it's reasonable to expect that any Belarusian sanctions would be tied to Turkey sanctions as Cyprus wants?
No, I don't think so, because these are the Belarusians issue is different than the Turkish one. These Belarusians is about the democracy, and the Turkish side is an overlapping claims, because Turkey and also Greece and the Greek Cypriots has the right to claim over these exclusive economic zones. They should find a deal. Without having a deal, everyone has to say this is our sovereign lands. But I mean, it is nonsense to make such kind of compression, I think so.
But some might also argue that this is also about democracy, that it's about Turkey violating democratic norms and international rules.
Unfortunately, that the Turkey is now facing with the undemocratic. Turkey is now living in an undemocratic authority. Yes, it is true that, but this does not meaning to that the Turkey has no right to use its sovereign rights to defend its sovereign rights over the maritime zones. Democracy is different than the protecting defending the sovereign rights over the maritime zones. Because we should divide, then Turkey is going to be an authoritarian regime. Yes, it's true that we are living in an authoritarian regime. There is no doubt. But on the other hand, this is the Turkish rights to claim to the exclusive economic zone over the Eastern Mediterranean. And since this exclusive economic zone, it is not an automatic right that all countries can claim. If there is an overlapping authority, if there is an overlapping claims over the exclusive economic zones, all coastal states should find a solution under the international law. And Turkey respecting the guided Turkish claims is guided by the international law also, as the Greeks and the Greek Cypriots are claiming. Therefore, we should divide the democracy and defending the sovereign rights.
Okay.
Yes. You can speak about saying to that Turkey is under the undemocratic state, yes. But this does not meaning that the Turkish government had to defend the sovereign rights of Turkey.
Sure. This past Saturday, President Erdogan tweeted, "We intend to give diplomacy as much space as possible, and we intend to solve problems in a win-win situation through dialogue." I think there's two ways for the EU to see this. One way is that the threat of sanctions has already driven Turkey to the negotiating table, and so there's little reason now to levy new sanctions on Turkey. The other view is that Erdogan is only playing nice now, saying Turkey's ready for diplomacy, so the EU does not levy sanctions and allows Turkey to continue or to resume its aggressiveness in the Eastern Mediterranean. Which view do you think is more accurate?
I mean, the aggressiveness is coming from all sides, not only just only by Turkey. That because the claiming, as already before to say before mentioned to that the unilateral all any kind of the unilateral declaration of the exclusive economic zone, which is violating if it is violating the other's sovereign rights, which is null and void, and the other states. I mean, other coastal states or neighboring states will have the right to defend their sovereign rights. The defending the sovereign rights is not the aggressiveness. We should underline to that. Till now, the limitation of the EEZ, Exclusive Economic Zone Agreement, in the Aegean Sea and the Eastern Mediterranean, is a matter that most governments in both sides have deliberately neglected. Since It is an issue more difficult to solve, and its political cost is too high. All actors are now refraining to reach the deal, not only Turkey, but also Greece, and also Greek Cypriots. If they are ready to create a peaceful negotiations, now it's time to do it, as Greeks did with Italy in June 2000s. They had an agreement over the, let's say, over the Adriatic Sea, and they reached an agreement to the delimitation of the exclusive economic zones of the both countries. Why the Greeks are refraining to sit table with Turkey to reach such an agreement also? We should think about that. And first, Konstantin Mitsotakis also saying that we are now extending the Greeks' waters, Greeks' territories, which means it could be read as a kind of irredentist explanation to say, right? Why we are not speaking about the irredentism of the Greek Cypriots, Greeks leaders, that they are saying to that we are extending the Greek territories. This is an irredentism. If there are overlapping territorial seas, exclusive economic zones, and continental shelves, you should respect your neighbor's rights at the same time. Therefore.
Well, they would say the same thing
any
about
unilateral
Turkey.
Declaration, either coming from Turkey or Greek or the Greek Cypriots, about the maritime borders will not be acceptable. Till now, there is no agreed maritime borders treaty between Turkey and Greece, Turkey and Greek Cypriot administration.
Right, they would say the same thing, that Turkey is extending its maritime claims, especially with the deal.
Disregarding
Greece's rights, you know.
Both sides are speaking about the maximalist approach.
Right.
This creates the tension, which is for the first time Greeks published. Not, of course, that this is not an officially they declare, but they published the exclusive economic zone map, which alarms Turkey, which is going to be creating a fait accompli. Any kind of the fait accompli which is coming from any actor is not acceptable by the other actors. And what
right, and you say,
do not want to accept this fait accompli.
As you say, the next step is being ready for negotiations.
Sure.
Turkish and Greek delegations met twice at NATO headquarters in Brussels last week, as we said before. Have you heard anything about what was discussed there or what sort of progress might have been made? Both sides are now saying they plan to resume talks next week. So I guess there was some kind of progress. It sounds like from what you've said that you agree that me and maybe have seen some positive signs. What do you think?
Actually, what I understood, because there is no leakages as of today, we didn't have such kind of leakages before. It was just, it reminded me after the 1999 Helsinki summit, there was also establishment of the Weiser Committee, and then this Weiser Committee that made the great progress in terms of the solving the issues that we heard from Cumhuriyet newspaper, Hürriyet newspaper, and Katami. If I am not wrong, to that they already wrote about that in 2005. This similar progress most probably has been taken to bringing the Weiser committees, let's say, to discuss over the Weiser committee the reconciliation efforts. Then hopefully that there some sort of limited. Agreement we will have under the NATO that I am expecting. But as of today, we didn't have any concrete news, any concrete leakages that we have not. No, we don't have any.
What do you think for the possible shortcomings of the West in regards to the sky-high tensions between Turkey and Greece? As we already said, the EU has been very divided. The U.S. has as well. Pompeo has sided with Greece and Cyprus, which he visited last week, while Trump has continued to compliment his pal Erdogan. NATO, of which both Turkey and Greece are, of course, members, had done very little until last week when it held these talks. Do you think the West could have done more, or was it some ways inevitable, highlighting kind of reduced Western influence in the region?
I mean, the most important thing is that the negotiations are under NATO. We should speak about West Turkey. NATO is very important institution for Turkey. This is the only institution where Turkey has a strong voice in the Western institutions. This is the only one. Apart, the European Council has no, let's say, significant importance in the political policy making of the Western world. But the NATO has the one of the main actor. Therefore, the importance of the NATO is important in terms of the Western inclusion to the Eastern Mediterranean to be a honest broker. The U.S. is also playing to the as you say, so that the Pompeo is good police, bad police with the Trump. It's a good game, and at least they are trying to create a balance, the classical American balance between Turkey and Greece. Therefore, opening a space for NATO. From the also the from the US is also important. I think US push to NATO to take more action in this tension that I heard.
Some observers argue that Turkey's policies toward its diaspora in European countries and EU member states are about more than attracting votes. They point to Turkish imams in Germany accused of spying for the Turkish government and Turkish intelligence creating an app for Turkish origin Germans to report suspected members of the Gülen movement. Turkey is also said to be the top supporter of Muslim Brotherhood-linked Islamist groups in the European Union. And the Turkish state has supported a number of emerging pro-Muslim political parties, such as Denke in the Netherlands and Nyans in Sweden. What do you think of all this? What is Turkey trying to achieve among its diaspora, with its diaspora in EU states?
I mean, Turkey is trying to do, I think, the as in the case of the diasporas in U.S. or diasporas in the Europe, Turkey is, as of today, is use trying to create a pro-Turkey groups, either social movements, NGOs, or political parties. Which are close to Turkey as a kind of the democratic tools and
I mean, do you
instruments,
mean
because these
pro-Turkey or
are,
pro-AKP?
I mean, as of today, AKP is the Turkish government, the ruler of Turkey. But I mean, as of today, AKP is, as you know, to that they also created some tensions among the Turks living in Europe. For example, the Milli Görüş, the National Outlook, that the dividing them into the three, Saadet Partisi, European Islam, the Milli Görüş, European National Outlook, and also to the UET, the European United Democrats, and so on and so forth. Therefore, it creates, on the one hand, the pro-Turkey. On the other hand, it is also supporting the. This does not meaning to that they are directly support to the AKP. They also trying to create at least a kind of space, a political space. The people, the parties, or the groups, Muslim groups, Muslims in Europe are trying to create a political space for them, and they are ready to cooperate with any actors. Turkey is one of them. Not only Turkey, but also the Saudi Arabia and Iran is also very active, especially in Balkans and also the some other European countries. Of course, it started with the Austrian claims about the Turkish efforts, and Bulgarians also so criticized the Turkish efforts that Turkey, what Turkey did in Bulgaria, what AKP government did in Bulgaria, which is also criticized. It creates on the one hand the pro-Turkey, on the one hand the pro-AKP, which creates some satisfaction over the Turkish diaspora in Europe, but also it creates a counter effect to that. It creates a dissatisfaction at the same time about the AKP involvement or Erdogan involvement from one country to another country or one group to another group. These satisfaction and dissatisfaction is changing even in the groups, even in the groups, which is also creating a tension, like the European Saadet. Saadet Partisi has also branch in Europe. They were separated from the Milli Görüş. They also hesitating to take part of the AKP efforts on the one hand, while they are so close to the AKP because they are coming from the same background.
But it's not a political party. It's like an NGO or something, or some sort of.
I mean, it is a Turkish political group. That's political group, but they are mostly the Turkish citizens.
They're not running for office, though, in these countries, is what I'm saying.
I mean, they have offices. They have
No,
offices.
I mean, they're not running for political office.
Not a political office within
Right.
Europe, but they are creating a political agenda as well at the same time. They have also in Belgium, for example, in Belgium, Germany, they are very actively taking part of the political processes, especially in the city councils. Local elections, but not a, let's say, federal one, but in a federal one, these city councils or the local councils, they are so effective. But on the other hand, they are somehow, it creates also counter effect. On the one hand, yes, it is creating a pro-Turkey, pro-AKP, but on the other hand, Turkish efforts is not welcomed, or Ankara efforts, the AKP efforts not welcomed by all Turkish diaspora or the Muslim diaspora. Okay, this is not only one-sided. All sides are somehow hesitating to that. Yes, this is Ankara wish to create at least AKP Beştepe wish to create as such pro-Turkey, pro-AKP groups within Europe. But on the other hand, it creates dissatisfaction as well.
Right. That's the question, was what's the next goal? Some critics have said Turkey and these Turkey-backed groups in Europe are trying to destabilize these EU countries, or looking to undermine decision-making, or hoping to strengthen Islamic communities with an eye toward putting them into power.
I
What do
mean,
you think? Is any of this true?
no. It will create the more democratic Europe, I think. So it created the more creating the I mean, democracy is about the embracing the diversity, if it is, or it is respecting the human rights. Unfortunately, we don't have in Turkey right now. But if it is about the respect of rule of law, respect of the human rights, respect to the diversity, then it is a chance for Europe to talk about, to embrace this diversity. And it helps the European, let's say, European democracy rather than to undermine it.
Well, I don't know if asking people in Germany to spy on people in Germany for the Turkish state is supporting democracy or human rights.
I mean, it is not about Turkey. It is about the people who lives in Europe. Okay, they are facing with the some, let's say, discrimination activities, right? Sometimes to the xenophobic attacks, which are Turkish diaspora or the Muslim diaspora facing with in European countries, and they should defend themselves within the system. Sometimes they are facing with the problems. If they have no chance if they have a limited chance, not a no chance, limited chance to enter into politics with the mainstream parties, This is their right as a European citizens, because they are European citizens. Some of them have double citizenship. Many of them has no double citizenship in Germany or in other countries as well. Depends on their constitutional structure, constitutional situation. Therefore, if they are the citizens of those countries, this is their right to create a group. Either it will back with Turkey or Russia or the other countries. I don't mind to that.
Well, but Turkey always gets upset when it's suggested that the United States or some other country is meddling in its domestic politics, like that Biden video recently when he talked about supporting the opposition. But Turkey openly supports these small pro-Muslim parties in Europe, and why is that? Why should that not be a problem for
I mean,
Europe?
if it is an internal, it's an if it is an intervention to the internal politics, yes, it is. It will create the problem between among the states for sure. That if they are seeing as a kind of the intervention to the domestic politics, yes, it will. But this is the game of the international relations. The states are playing this game to each other, and then it is usual, I think so.
What about the Turkish Islamic outreach efforts by the DİANET, like DİTİB and ATİB in Austria and Germany? Austria and Germany have begun to work to decrease the foreign influence in their Muslim communities. What do you think of that? Is that putting pressure on Turkey? Is that putting pressure on Turkish relations with these countries? Is that a good idea?
It creates the pro. I mean, Diyanet and DİTİB was mostly opened by bilateral agreements between Turkey and those countries, and it was not a big problem till the last years after the coup in Turkey that it started to create a problem in Europe. It was about the undemocratic when Turkey is turning into an undemocratic country, that it alarms to the European countries, most probably to that, and anti-Erdoganism in Europe is turning into a kind of creating anti-Turkey sentiments too much. Therefore, it is difficult for Europeans to divide, to separate Erdoğan with Turkey, because they are looks like the, somehow resembles. They looks like more similar. The AKP or Erdoğan is equal to Turkey, which is not true. But Diyanet, as of today, is seen as Austria, Germany, and some other the Netherlands. Holland, Netherlands, and Denmark let's say, as an instrument of AKP rather than a Turkey. That was the problem, I think so. And they see that as you said already, spying. They are accusing the imams as spying for AKP.
And you think that do you think that view is correct of seeing it as a
No,
tool of the
actually, I didn't have any concrete information about that, any concrete knowledge about that. These are the claims. These are the claims of to those countries. And when the countries have the problems, the first thing is that they are trying to define to the such kind of they are creating such kind of manipulations, such kind of let's say speculations. These are, from my side, it's going to be like a more speculation and any unilateral claims which are not supported by the proven evidence.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's put it on the other foot then. Let's say that Turkey has a sizable Christian minority, like in Ottoman times. Well, actually, back then it was a Christian majority. But let's say it has a
I wish
sizable.
we have now. I wish we have.
Right.
But at least
I do as well. But
maybe
wait, but wait,
can
but
you
wait,
say
but wait. Just
this?
let me finish this question. So let's say Turkey has a sizable Christian minority, and most of the priests are sent from Italy or from Greece or from France. And there have been accusations that these priests are spying for those countries. How do you think Turkey, how do you think Erdogan and AKP would respond to that?
I think Syria responds to that as of, because Turkey has already has a such kind of historical background, you know, to that during the Ottoman times, that what Turkey facing with did such claims and did such kind of things, that especially for the Russians and the Russians and the Greeks that. But for Turkey now, I think Turkey will respond more severely as the Europeans did today. Mm-hmm. Looks like the similar, because this is all about to the state, okay? This is all about to the state. States wants to protect their sovereignty, their things. They will create the speculations and unilateral claims without evidence. The same things will happen for sure to that. I mean, since it's a political cost, it is political, politically benefiting, politically profitable, and to creating to create a nationalized, to create the nationalist sentiments, which is the easy the game to play it, without any proven evidence. It's make it easier to speak about that. Maybe 10 years later, that Turkey will have a 10% the Arabic speaking minority in Turkey, due to the refugees in Turkey, and then we will face with the such kind of claims that most probably, which are coming from the Arab countries.
What do you mean? What sort of claims?
I mean, what the Europeans are claiming over Turkish Diyanet.
Ah, I see, I see.
Because, I mean, you know, we have the around 5 million Syrian refugees.
But they're the same religion. I mean, how would they be kind of utilized by these
other
states?
Not only the same religion. It is not about the being a same religion, but also the same. Some of them are not same sect.
So they should just be seen as foreigners, as outsiders spying for another country. You mean like that?
I mean, unfortunately, the states are making this game, this playing this game, rather than having. I mean, it's not the states, the political parties, the extreme right parties, the rise of the extreme rights, or when the mainstream parties fail to find a solution to the current economic, political, or social problems, it is easy to make such kind of speculations and trying to find the scapegoat for to those. And what the Europeans are doing, creating a scapegoat for to cover the economic, political, and social issues, problems, like in the case of Turkey as well. I mean, this is unfortunately the game of the extreme right parties. This is a trap, unfortunately, many of us is failing into.
So you're saying that the rise of this stronger far-right nationalism has made all Turkish politicians more prone to kind of embrace this xenophobia, this hatred, this dislike of outsiders. Even like, I think even CHP politicians have done some of this.
I mean, unfortunately, that it is easy to make the creating a scapegoat over the foreigners, over the non-citizens, over the refugees. They are playing this so easily. But these people are coming to the countries, to Turkey, for example. The refugees are coming to Turkey to create a new life for themselves, for their families, not to steal our jobs. Okay. They are coming to here to create a new life here, and we should embrace them to help them to make them feeling good, to contribute to the political, social, economic life of the country. Unfortunately, that the political parties are failing, while they are failing to find a solution, any problem, it is easy to create a scapegoat. And today is the refugees. This is unfortunate. This is an unfortunate of the politics.
Yeah, the same could be said to
either CHP or Justice and Development Party or the MHP or the EU Party or any of them.
But the
all of
same could be said of European response to Turkish immigrants and other Muslim immigrants, you know?
You know, I mean, we are what we are facing with Europe, that the Turkish minorities, Muslim minorities facing with the problems, somehow in a lesser context that also facing with Turkey. Of course, that Turkey is, to be honest, when we compare with the Europeans, well, is more embracing. But we are hearing also the very negative news which are coming from politicians and also
Media.
social media and also social life. That, for example, in Samsun, that a new Syrian guy was killed, or
Right,
his
right.
9 years old children was committing suicide because of bullying. Unfortunately, we are facing with those issues also in Turkey, but the level is not so much as much as in the Syrians or the Muslims are facing within Europe. But the thing is that in Europe, at least, the people has the door knock to ask for their rights.
Muzaffer Chanel, thank you so much for your time and insight. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You are welcome.
You can follow Ahval News Online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.